My guest at this time is Georgia Republican Congressman Phil Gingrey. He represents the Peach State's 11th Congressional District. He is a physician, and he has been a guest of ours many times as it relates to the health care debate. Today in the House of Representatives, the Republican majority is bringing up its latest effort to repeal the president's plan, which, of course, survived the court challenge late last month at the U.S. Supreme Court. And, Congressman, it's always good to have you with us.
Oh, Greg, thanks. Glad to be with you.
Speaker Boehner has mentioned that in some form or fashion, over 30 attempts to repeal this have been made by the Republican House. What do you hope to achieve by once again launching into this debate?
Well, I think we have an obligation to the American people to do that, Greg. The 31 votes, I mean, I'm sure this includes the sections of the bill, the multiple sections that were brought up for repeal, like the Class Act and IPAP and all of that. Of course, the overall repealing of the bill, that was, I guess, the second thing we voted on in the 111th Congress. And, you know, when Justice Roberts ruled that this law, the Affordable Care Act, I think it's the Unaffordable Care Act, but in any regard, we won't quibble on that right now. But when he ruled that it was constitutional by essentially rewriting the bill and calling the penalty a tax, he made it a point to say that I'm not commenting on the on whether or not this is a good bill or a logical bill or the right thing to do, almost inviting us, the Congress, to have a shot at it, have a shot at repealing, have a shot at reforming it. And that's exactly what we're doing. This bill, according to the Supreme Court, is constitutional. But it's not unconstitutional, but it darn sure is un-American. So that's why we feel very strongly about this debate. I think five and a half hours are given to debate. They're discussing the rule right now on the House floor, and we will vote sometime tomorrow to repeal Obamacare.
Congressman, does the court decision change the argument? Obviously, critics of the plan who would like to see it repealed are basically down to the last option now, which would be congressional repeal. It's unlikely to happen in this Congress, but depending on the November election results, that would seem to be the most logical avenue.
Well, I think so. I honestly do. And let's paint the worst-case scenario, Greg. Assuming that this president, Barack Obama, is reelected to a second term, and of course, whether we take over the Senate or not in that situation, then we're stuck. We are literally stuck with Obamacare. I mean, I just don't see any way forward to get it off the books. And when it becomes fully implemented in 2014 and gets deeper and deeper roots, I mean, we're stuck with it. Well, that's why I say to the American people, to your listeners and everybody within shouting distance, look, for goodness sakes, understand that this election is all about this. This is hugely important. The Dems are going to stand up there and talk about, hey, you know, you wasted time on this when we ought to be creating jobs. Well, my God, this is the very thing that they wasted 2 years on when they should have been worried about jobs. And now it's created so much uncertainty in the workplace in regard to whether or not an employer can provide health care for their employees that nobody's hiring. They don't want to hit the threshold of 50 people. Heck yeah, this is a jobs bill. The most important jobs bill we can vote on right now is to repeal Obamacare.
We're talking with Georgia Congressman and Dr. Phil Gingrey. And Congressman, in terms of what you just said a moment ago about this potentially being the most important thing in this election, do you expect the debate over the president's health care plan to be right up there with how to best create jobs and how to best turn this economy around?
Well, as I said just a second ago, it's all so interrelated.
Sure.
In regard to corporate money on the sidelines, $1.7 trillion that some of the bigger companies are unwilling to invest and spend and hire, bring in new people because they don't know what in the heck's going on up here, particularly in regard to health care. So it's all interrelated, connecting the dots. There's no question about the most important thing is getting this economy going and getting people back to work. 40 straight months of 8.2% unemployment or higher, and 13 million out of work, probably closer to 22 million if you count the people who are underemployed and have quit looking. This is a miserable, failed presidency. Net loss of a half a million jobs in 3.5 years. So, again, this is what they should have been paying attention to 2.5 years ago, instead of trying to be opportunist, and when the Democratic majority existed in the House and Senate and occupied 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, they decided, oh, well, this is really the time for us to get national health insurance that we've been wanting for 50 or 60 years, and let's go for it, and we'll put off the economy. The people unemployed be damned. We're going to force this bill through because we've got the opportunity. Well, they're going to pay a price for that in November.
Congressman, you and I have talked about this law many different times, and we've talked about different aspects of it just in the past few minutes here with the amount of spending on it, with the impact on job creation. Obviously, the quality and access to care has been a major issue here. When you talk about this with your constituents, is there one particular aspect of this that concerns them and that they dwell on most?
Well, you know, I think if when you get out of the weeds, and you don't have to dig too deep to get out of these weeds of things like IPAB, this rationing board, which would limit care and having bureaucrats come between the doctor and his or her patient in regard to making medical decisions, and really enticing them to do things to save money rather than to save lives. And quite honestly, that is not an overstatement, not at all. That's what's got the bejesus scared out of people, and it should have. I mean, you know, when you're talking about somebody's life, they don't care about society and what effect your treatment has on the greater good. They're thinking about their living and breathing and their spouses and children and grandchildren and wanting to live as long as they can, a healthy life, and wanting you to take care of them. That's all they care about. So, again, this bureaucracy of top-down management, national health insurance, it's not the American way.
And as our exit question, sir, a lot of Democrats will say, and I know you and I have talked about this as well in the past, they'll say, what's your alternative? Most people on both sides of the aisle say they'd like to see changes. This was the Democratic approach. Give our listeners kind of the brief on what the Republican replace factor would be in terms of repeal and replace.
Greg, I'm really glad to have the opportunity to do that. Let me tell you about three or four things. But what President Bush started and what, when I give credit where credit is due, President Obama continued in regard to electronic medical records and the money that was provided for that in the ARRA, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, is something like $25 billion to make sure that we have electronic medical records in every doctor's office across the country, every hospital, every healthcare facility, and all this information is connecting so that we don't duplicate cost and tests and procedures and prescribe the wrong medication and that sort of thing. I think with medical liability reform, fair and balanced, absolutely not taking away anybody's right to a redress of grievances if they're injured because of sloppy medical care. But we've got to stop all this defensive medicine. It's driving up the cost astronomically, allowing people to go on the internet and find a health insurance policy that best suits them and their family's needs without all the mandates that may exist in their state to be good, smart consumers, and putting information online in a secure way where patients can go and shop just like they can for anything else and make sure that they don't pay twice what they should have to pay for a standard delivery or a standard gallbladder removal or a standard heart valve replacement. You know, I mean, let the consumers be the good shoppers and ultimately let health care be a decision between the provider, indeed the doctor, and the patient.
Congressman, we'll be watching the debate on the House floor, and while it won't get through the Senate or to the President this year, it'll obviously be a major issue as we head towards Election Day in November. Thank you very much, as always, for being with us.
Greg, thanks a lot. My pleasure.
Georgia Republican Congressman Phil Gingrey, longtime physician. He's representing Georgia's 11th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.